was none other than John Brennan. John Brennan was later rewarded and appointed as director of, guess what, the CIA. And John Brennan, being rewarded, continued the torture program, the drone program, expanded the drone program, spied on the Senate, and John Brennan continued to invoke the state's secret privilege to seal cases against the CIA. So, the shadow government rewards itself. Next slide, please. Excuse me. I call this, humbly, in my book, The Tyranny of Secrecy. Secrecy is now used to subvert the U.S. Constitution. It is an incredible power that the shadow government has to completely circumvent Congress, circumvent the Constitution, manipulate the President of the United States, and manipulate the judiciary. This is tyranny. Next slide, please. We all remember this, John F. Kennedy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. And later on, he said, I will splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and scatter it to the winds. John F. Kennedy's major enemy was then CIA Director John Dulles. John Dulles was engaged in multiple human rights violations, torture, rendition, experiments on human beings, and on and on and on it went. That's another lecture. He was the arch enemy of John F. Kennedy. After John F. Kennedy fired Alan Dulles, which was the only biggest black mark on Dulles' entire career, which he resented the rest of his life. And after Dulles was fired, he got together and organized a group of former senior CIA officers, managers, to work against Kennedy's policies and try to subvert his policies. As we know, John F. Kennedy was eventually assassinated, and guess who they put in charge of the Warren Commission investigating the assassination? Alan Dulles. They put Alan Dulles in charge of the Warren Commission investigating the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the fox investigating the hen house. We'll just leave that one right there. Let's move on. Next slide, please. Thank you. Now, I'll have to, the slide's been rearranged a little bit, but good. These slides had transitions where the words moved around and things, and we just couldn't do that here, so I apologize to the audience. But here's where it all started. The government legalized lying to the American people, called the state's secrets privilege. I want everybody to remember that. There was an Air Force B-29 bomber, 1948, crashed in Waycross, Georgia. I've been to the site. I've got photographs of the site in my book. Three RCA civilian engineers were killed in that crash. Their widows asked the Air Force in this classified program connected to the shadow government what caused the crash, what caused their husbands to die. The Air Force came back and said, well, we can't tell you what caused the crash because it's classified. Same old, we're seeing that today. The widows took the Air Force to court, demanded to know what caused the crash of this bomber. And that is when the shadow government, the Air Force, the CIA, created the state's secret privilege, derived it directly from the monarchy, the King of England, put it into place, and invoked the state's secret privilege to shut down the widow's case and seal it forever. Incredibly, that crash report of that Air Force B-29 bomber was found, guess where? On the internet, completely unclassified, and it showed gross negligence on the part of the pilots that drove that B-29 right into the ground in that farm. So the whole thing was a lie. It wasn't classified. The crash report was unclassified, but it did show severe negligence on part of the U.S. Air Force. That was used to create the state's secrets privilege. As I mentioned, the state's secrets privilege is now used by the CIA and the NSA to seal any cases against them forever, so not even Congress or Senate has access to the information. So the point is, the state secrets privilege, the most tyrannical power in the U.S. government, was based on a lie by the government, and it's now treated as tyrannical law. Next slide, please. Shadow government, tyranny of secrecy. The shadow government, specifically the CIA, has control over Congress. I want you all to see this because this is the shadow government manipulating and controlling our elected government. Control over the Congress, manipulating congressional hearings, withholding clearances from congressmen and senators, If they don't want a congressman or senator to know what they're doing, they just withhold the clearance. You can't see any of the information if you have the clearance that only the CIA can give you. They classify documents to conceal their illegal activity, so Congress can't even see what's in the documents. I'll show you some of those later. And they block Congress, as I mentioned, using the state secrets privilege. How do they control the White House? They blindfold the president. They've engaged in operations the president was not even aware of, perhaps sometimes intentionally. They've manipulated the president. An example is the false intelligence that led to the Iraq War, as I mentioned. And they influenced the president's reelection, as the quote from Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer indicated. The shadow government can influence a president's reelection. You better play by our rules, or we're going to work against you, and we're going to ensure that you're not reelected. In the case of Donald Trump, from John Brennan to Director Clapper to Mike, Acting Director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, and on and on and on, down through the shadow government leaders, they have all come out against Donald Trump and worked with the Russiagate narrative to try to remove him from office. This is the shadow government trying to remove an elected president, elected by the majority of the people through the democratic electoral process and the electoral college, and the shadow government is trying to remove this president through things like the false dossier that one John McCain got from a source paid for by the Democratic Party and then leaked that to John Brennan, who then leaked it to the press as if it was intelligence. This is heinous. I did 20 years of work in the CIA and then with the Department of State. I have never, ever seen this happen with any president before. But then again, there's never been a president who stated that he was going to look into the JFK assassination, 9/11, and other things. This is unprecedented. Control of judiciary. I mentioned the secret FISA court, which is a new secret Supreme Court, and the use of the state's secrets privilege, coercing judges to rubber stamp these cases. Next slide, please. Tyranny of secrecy. The CIA, if you want to conceal it, just classify it. I'll give you some examples. Congress demanded the torture report, that the CIA release what they were engaged in torture. If you look above Daryl Issa there, you can see what the CIA provided. This is the torture report information that the CIA provided to Congress. See any problems there? You can't even read it. It's totally blacked out. Now, if you look down at Congressman Issa, when Congress, in investigation, demanded the information on Fast and Furious running guns to drug cartels across the border, this is, you can see Mr. Issa holding up, this is the document that they released to Congress for their examination. Can you see a problem with that? Now, the 9/11 report is supposed to be transparent so the American people, in your upper right-hand corner, so the American people could know what happened in 9/11, and frankly, we don't in a large way, because a criminal investigation was never done. If one is done, you'll get an entirely different picture. But 28 pages of the so-called transparent 9/11 report, you can see it right there. They've been blacked out. George W. Bush ordered that that information in there be blacked out. Indications are that that was Saudi Arabia's connection to 9/11. Saudi Arabia is tied at the hip with the CIA and our intelligence services. Most conjectures I've seen by some of the congressmen involved, they think that's what that was. So this is how they do it. This is the modus operandi. If the CIA wants to conceal something from Congress, Congress demands, through their power of the oversight committees, they demand information. Well, you can see what they get. They get documents blacked out. Nobody can stop them. Nobody challenges them, because they know they don't have the authority to stop the CIA, and no one can come back and demand that they take the blackouts off this stuff. This is ultimate power that the CIA has. It is absolute tyranny. Next slide. So the big question is, we hear all the time, if this is going on, if the shadow government and these agencies are violating the Constitution in such a large capacity, why is no one speaking out against it? Why is no one coming out and quote-unquote blowing the whistle? What they're trying to convey is, well, if no one's coming out against it, then it must not exist. Well, I'm going to show you why no one is coming out against it. There is a complex, organized, well-thought-out, instituted program that's been there since 1950 to silence anybody who even dares come out and reveal some of these programs. Let's get into that a little bit. I have been in this system. I come from the belly of beast of the beast. I've seen it used. They try to use it on me. So let's get into that. Next slide, please. Shadow government's war on whistleblowers. Yeah, we're going to have to, Eric, if you can bring up the sub-bullets. If not, I'll have to talk to it. Looks like it's not coming up. Yeah, if you can jump back one. All right, go back to the slide if you can. Let's just talk about, I'll just talk to this. The shadow government war on whistleblowers, it has a well-refined, perfected system to shut up whistleblowers who try to reveal any of this information. There is a system of personal destruction, and I'll go into that in detail here in a moment, that will destroy the person before they even come out and try to get to the Congress or Senate. If you remember, the 2012 Congress passed the 2012 Whistleblower Protection Act, claiming that whistleblowers in the government are now protected. Well, if you read, most people don't read down in that act, they find out if you read down that any employee that has access to any classified government information, including confidential or sensitive, any employee that has access to classified information, CIA information, is not covered by the 2012 Whistleblower Protection Act. Then Obama went further as a reform, and again, whenever that word is used, you got to watch it. Obama came out with the 2014 Whistleblower Enhancement Protection Act, claiming that intelligence employees now have the protected ability to blow the whistle if they see something go on within the intelligence agency. If you read down on that one, you find out this, that the only way that an intelligence employee can blow the whistle is if they are actually still sitting in that position, still working on the case that they're blowing the whistle on inside that organization, which means they are right in there in the personal system of destruction, right where they want them, right where they can silence them. And that was intentionally put in this 2014 Enhancement Protection Act. So that's no protection of whistleblowers whatsoever. And of course, if the employee takes the case far and is successful, bypassing all of that, they'll simply invoke the state secrets privilege, shut the case down, and threaten that employee with prison if he talks about that case to anyone. Okay, next slide. All right, now I put this in there. How does he know? How do I know what I'm talking about? And I put some of this in the book for two reasons. Number one, so the CIA could not say I never worked there, which they tried to do. And number two, to silence anyone, trolls or other, who would come out and say, oh, this guy never worked for the CIA. Well, I actually, through the Freedom of Information Act, got my CIA performance appraisals in the book to clear that one up. But just so you know, this is not out of any ego. I just want people to know that I've been there. I come from there. I know what I'm talking about. I was a branch chief and a CIA manager. I was an internal counterintelligence investigator, as Doug mentioned. I was an internal staff security investigator, polygraph examiner. I did the overseas counterterrorism operations. I was a military industrial complex program manager at the senior level, and I personally stood against the CIA for 12 years. And I placed this evidence in from the company of shadows, not to make myself look like a tough guy, but to prove who I was and to prove where I came from, because the media is replete with frauds out there. People who say that they work for the CIA that never did, so-called experts on terrorists that are not experts at all. So when somebody says something, check out their credentials. Anyway, I put this in there just to make it clear that I was indeed involved in this, and I know what I'm talking about. Next slide. All right, in my case, now all these words are supposed to come in layers, no problem. We can work through that. Targeting whistleblowers, my personal experience and what I saw when I fought the CIA. And most people know it's in the book. I uncovered a vulnerability in CIA systems where foreign intelligence officer could locate the identities of our agents in the field, which could result in assassination. I presented that investigation to the high levels of the agency. I was threatened. My documents were destroyed three times, removed from the server. My career was threatened for doing so. Most people cannot figure out why in the world they would do that unless they wanted to get rid of some of these people. That's pure conjecture. Anyway, I filed suit against the agency. The first thing that was done is I was placed under a gag order, and was my wife and children. The thing about the gag order was I was told it was too sensitive to read. They held on to it for 2 years, claiming it was too sensitive and I couldn't read it. So I didn't even know what I was gagged by. In other words, I didn't know what I could say and what I couldn't. After 2 years of fighting to get this gag order, you can see down there, this is the gag order that they provided. Does that look familiar? Does that match the MO of documents provided that I just showed you a few slides before? This was a clear case of entrapment. Gag somebody and then refuse to show them what they're gagged by, and then when they say something that's in the gag order, you can come and get them. It was set up. It was entrapment. Thank God I never fell into it. I still have to watch everything I say, but this shows you what the shadow government does to silence whistleblowers. Next slide, please. Okay, this is we've already gone through this. But, you know, the sad part is, where are the whistleblowers? If you go down to the bottom, in blue it says news media compliance. A lot of whistleblowers have made the mistake, myself included, of saying, "Well, I'll go to the fourth branch of government, the press, and I'll let the press know." And in a free society, this is the way to do it. Nope, not so. I had several publishers turn down my book, and the way they stated it was they didn't want to cross the CIA. They didn't even want to see the proposal or the manuscript. When I did reveal my case, and I was very careful to make sure it was all unclassified because I knew they were gunning for me personally, when I did call the Washington Post and gave them my story, what the Washington Post did was immediately call the CIA, report to the CIA that I had just made contact, and tell the CIA what I had just told them. And they sat on it for 30 days until the CIA told them what they could print in their paper. So is there an objective news media? No, there's not. Is the news media, specifically the CIA, specifically the Washington Post, manipulated by the CIA? Yes, it is. Next slide. All right, the shadow government. Let's get into this system of elimination. I want everybody to see this. This is why whistleblowers do not come out. Only a few do, like Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden knew that if he went through the system, he would be destroyed. And he used Thomas Drake, NSA whistleblower Thomas Drake, as his example. Thomas Drake went through the system. They arrested him, tried to convict him of espionage, searched his house, tried to put him in jail for going through the system. So this is their modus operandi. First, they will screen and appoint supervisors that they know will comply with this system of personal destruction. I was a manager, a branch chief. When I was appointed, I was taken into the supervisor's office and ordered to rate down two of my employees that worked directly under me, just to let them know not to mess with the system. Now, these two employees were top performers. They were both good guys, so I rated them with top ratings on their performance appraisals. I was taken in there and told that a memo was going to be placed in my file that was going to ruin my career, and on it went. So they were testing me to see if I'd comply with this system, which I did not. Next, the supervisor will give veiled threats of retribution. You know, John, if you carry this complaint further, other employees that have done that, well, you know, they've lost their careers. They'll do things like that. Then the employee is denied promotions. And let me stop here. And there are people out there listening to this right now that have worked for the shadow government or the deep state. And I can tell you, I know what you're thinking. You have been through this exact program. And the reason is, this is a system that they use every time. It's been used for thousands of people. The employee is denied a promotion, and then they're assigned away from their peers, communicating to the employee that you better not go any further, and communicating to their peers that look what happens if anybody rocks the boat. Then, reporting documents, if they do send some of these reporting documents up to higher levels, even the IG, the investigations group, those documents, as in my case, when I uncovered this vulnerability, those documents are lost from the internal system. If it's a grievance, if it's documentation of any illegal activity, they are lost. They're removed from the system. Seen it personally. Now, if the employee files a grievance with their investigations group or their IG, IGs are supposed to be impartial. That's not always the case. I've seen that personally. Many IGs are staffed by employees with that organization. I was given false names, and on and on and on it went. And sometimes these IGs are complicit with the organization itself. These are careerists with that organization, and of course, they're not going to control the organization that holds their retirement. Next slide, please. All right, now, let me read through this. Let's say that the employee has the guts to file a legal suit, in this case, against the CIA. What the CIA will do is block any outside attorneys. Any attorney that that employee wants to use, the CIA will block it and advise that employee that they can only use a quote-unquote CIA-approved attorney. Now, how do you think that one works out? Next, the CIA demands all evidence that the employee and his or her attorneys have in the case. Any evidence that the employee has, which is the basis of her suit, the agency demands that they turn that evidence over, or they have committed a national security violation and face legal consequences. Next, the CIA will hold and control all the documents, including notes from the plaintiff's attorneys, any meetings that the plaintiff has, and as I mentioned, any other evidence. They will hold all those documents and demand that all of that information be held at CIA headquarters in a CIA file in a combination safe. So all of the evidence that the plaintiff, the employee, and his or her attorneys have got to be turned over to the CIA, or they've committed a national security violation. Next, the CIA will classify even unclassified information. Once they classify it, they control it under the classification system. So they'll classify, for example, doctor's diagnosis, environmental reports, things like that. They will classify those, black them out, and store them and control them in CIA headquarters. They will, and this is their favorite, they will intentionally delay the case for years. There have been cases where employees have sued the CIA, and they've been delayed up to 8, 9, 10 years. And that is intentional. It wears the employee out. It drains them financially. It drains their attorneys. They wind up bankrupt, and many of them just give up as broken people. If the employee has got the nerve to push it even farther, then, as I mentioned, the CIA and the NSA will invoke what's called the state secrets privilege, seal all the evidence in that case, then threaten the employee. If they talk to anyone further, including their attorneys, they will go to prison, which blocks the employee's congressmen and senators from having any access to any of that person's information. In my case, I went to a very good, noble congressman, Congressman Frank Wolf, who was an awesome guy, took my case, tried to contact the CIA 7 times. They ignored his calls completely and finally called back and said basically there was nothing he could do, it was none of his business, and they blocked him from the case entirely. Constitutional problem there? You bet there is. And then, of course, if the agency or the NSA, CIA, invokes the state's secrets privilege, they will threaten the employee, and in some cases their family, with prison if they talk about their case to anyone. Most people will stop right here because they're looking at complete personal destruction. Next slide. Let's go on to more. If they keep going, they will search the employee. This is a favorite one. They'll search the employee's travel accounting, government credit card use for any errors, try to find any mistake the employee has made, and everybody, almost everybody, makes a mistake somewhere in their travel accounting. They'll look for that, and if they find it, they'll use it against the employee to attack the employee, try to get them to drop their case. Some agencies will deceive the employee because this is a very stressful process. I know I did counterintelligence investigations. They'll deceive the employee into reporting to the medical office because they know they're going through a lot of stress, and this will help them handle their stress. So they go in there, they go through the interview. What is placed in their file is that they're disgruntled or paranoid. That's placed on the record to use later if the agency, NSA, CIA, has to defend itself if it gets that far. Then if that doesn't work, the next step, they'll accuse the employee of trumped up security violations and brand the employee as a security threat. That is the guise to allow them to conduct surveillance and harassment of the employee. I've seen them break into an employee's house who was completely innocent. I've seen them put bugs on their computer. I've seen them do several things which were illegal and a felony just to harass the employee and try to get them to drop the case. This is a refined system, as I mentioned, that used it thousands of times. Next slide. So, let me try to read through this. What these agencies will do in the shadow government, they'll begin to destroy the employee and their family. If you remember, you can go after most men or women and try to get them to shut up, and many times they will do that. If they don't shut up, if they have the nerve to continue, guess who they go for next? Their family. Everybody knows from the mafia on down, and this is mafia-like stuff, everybody knows that if you target somebody's family, that's how you're going to get to them. I've seen them raise the interest rates on the internal credit union loans of a family, making them impossible to pay because the payments were so high. I've seen them, in my case, they blocked my retirement funds, withheld them, would not release my retirement funds. I called the Office of Personnel Management. That is a felony. Once I told the OPM it was a felony, I had my retirement in a week. This is what they do. They'll drive the employee and their family into financial ruin, into bankruptcy, either through attorney fees, medical bills, on and on, losing their retirement, and on it goes in a system of complete personal destruction. Now, many times the employee is broken and retreats. They give up. They can't stand it anymore. Their finances are ruined. Their family are ruined. Is ruined. They don't think there's any way out, and they will drop it. In most cases, they'll stop right there. If they continue, the personal destruction, the system continues. Many of these employees, and there have been cases where the stress is so severe, their family has broken up, they've gone into bankruptcy, they've lost everything. The agency has called and blackballed them with any other private or government agency or corporation out there, prevented them, blacklisted them from getting another job. So they're completely jobless. Sometimes it gets so bad that these employees commit suicide. And if you remember the case of Gary Webb, they did exactly that to Gary Webb. They ruined his family. They ruined his career. They drove him into serious financial bills. He lost his career with the paper. He was driven to a minor, know-nothing job. And then Gary Webb wound up what they claimed was a suicide. Gary Webb had two bullets in his head. Now, I don't know how you commit suicide with two bullets, but that was the what I call the perfect crime. They silenced Gary Webb. At that point, the system of personal destruction is complete. The employee is no longer a threat, and they will drive them to suicide or other forms of death. If that's what they have to do, they will do it. Next slide, please. Here are some examples of some legal whistleblowers. This is the price of freedom. William Binney exposed the NSA surveillance program. His house was raided by FBI SWAT team members. He was held at gunpoint, a gun to his head. Thomas Drake went through proper channels, exposed the NSA surveillance program. His house was raided by an FBI SWAT team. He was arrested and charged with espionage. He beat it, got off with a misdemeanor. Thank God. This was the case that Edward Snowden used, the example that Edward Snowden used as to why he didn't go through the system was because of what they did to Thomas Drake. This is what you call blowback. Sometimes a shadow government is not real bright. They don't realize that the blowback from what they're doing is worse than if they just did the right thing. Kirk Wiebe exposed, along with Bill Binney, exposed the NSA surveillance program. His house was raided by an FBI SWAT team. John Kiriakou exposed the CIA torture program. John was arrested, sentenced to 30 months in prison. They got it down. He served 2 years in prison. John Kiriakou is not a criminal. He was a senior CIA officer, a top performer. He exposed the CIA torture program, and look what happened. They put him in jail for 2 years, a professional man in jail for 2 years. Next slide, please. What did I do? Well, they blacked out things in my book from the Company of Shadows, things that were not classified. That dealt with the cover-up, that dealt with the break-ins, that dealt with serious illness. My wife came running in one day. Her gums were bleeding. She was bruised all over her body. She lost her short-term memory. They had her on morphine. We were being exposed to a pretty serious poison in the house. Anything related to that was blacked out in my book. I went into operations, how we recruit agents, the vulnerability that I uncovered. They left all that in there, but they blacked out anything relating to the cover-up. According to an executive order, that is illegal. That is a felony. It is against the law for the CIA to black out information in the book just because it reveals illegal activity on the part of the CIA or it's embarrassing. So what I did is I built a code from the Company of Shadows that exposes those illegal blackouts, and I published the book. That's how I dealt with all this. I believe the pen is mightier than the sword, and that's I wrote that book simply to get the truth out and simply as a way to reveal the unconstitutional, illegal, and horrific things these agencies will do to people. Next slide, please. What can Americans do? I get this after my lectures all the time, obviously. What can Americans do? The shadow government, just like cockroaches, I have a picture of cockroaches there, the shadow government hates the light. And what Americans need to do is start a grassroots civil movement across America, establish thousands of groups that are unified around the Constitution, and mainly this, cause a social media storm. Get together with programs like Hagman & Hagman, InfoWars, and others, and cause a social media storm exposing these things. Next, as far as Congress and the Senate goes, fire them all. These are statesmen, stateswomen now. They have no more intention of reestablishing or supporting the Constitution than the man or woman in the moon. Fire them all and elect congressmen and senators who are constitutionalists. We at least still have some power. Let's use it as best we can. And at the bottom, demand total intelligence agency reform. I am calling for reform of the CIA. I'm calling for the CIA to be investigated, perhaps even dismantled, and returned to Truman's original vision of just being an organization that provides real-time intelligence to support the President of the United States and eliminate its power of secrecy and eliminate its power of covert operations. Next slide, please. We must never forget these things as I wrap it up. This is government by the people. The congressmen, Congress, and the Senate are your representatives. A constitutional government serves the people, not the other way around. And remember this, government violations of the Constitution are a felony. They're using your tax dollars to do this for these covert secret budgets for the shadow government and for the deep state. And remember, the weapon of tyranny is one thing. This is their currency, fear. The weapon of tyranny of any tyrannical government down through history, and the one we have now, the weapon of tyranny simply is fear. Fight back. Next slide. And I like to leave people with this quote because it's so true, and I think it gives strength to people that hear it. Thomas Jefferson, attributed to Thomas Jefferson, it goes like this. When people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Next slide, please. And that's it, you all. That is the lecture. I've come out and I'm saying this because I think the time has come for Americans to know what is going on. It's time for us to demand reform, especially in the shadow government, and stop this unconstitutional, illegal activity that is happening behind our backs, in the dark, using our tax dollars. We need to stand up now. The American people can do it. We can do it. And now is the time to start.
That was Kevin Schiff, folks. Three things, please. Number one, copy this program. Send it to everyone you know. Kevin Schiff has been, we actually blew through the network breaks. The network was kind enough to allow us to do that. This was an uninterrupted presentation by Kevin Schiff. We thank him for that. I'm going to tell you, to talk that
minutes.
Long, to talk that long, yeah, it's really a, it's a feat. And I want to say thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts as
so
patriots.
So content rich.
Absolutely. We cannot thank you enough. Now, if I know that we have a page and a half of comments, questions, and such from people, but I'm not going to bother you with a lot of those except to ask, is there anything that you want to expand upon that maybe you feel like you went through pretty quickly that needs more attention, or is there any other topic related to current events you would like to address that perhaps you haven't addressed before? And by the way, folks, From the Company of Shadows is Kevin Schiff's book. I highly recommend it. We have a copy. And again, it's information rich, as is this presentation. Kevin, I'm going to turn the floor back to you for the answer with respect to anything topical or anything you want to spend more time on.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. I want people to understand something that's going on right now. And as I mentioned a couple of times, it doesn't matter what you think of Donald Trump, whether you think he's a patriot, whether you think he's a fascist, whether you think he's a narcissist, whether you think he's just a good businessman. I know one thing is for sure. He has got the shadow government terrified. And you need to understand that what is going on with the Russia investigation and now this ridiculous racism thing is a simple attack by the shadow government to try to take this president out. Because no matter what you think of Donald Trump, as I said, they know he'll do it. They know that he'll investigate the CIA specifically. That they know that he will probably allow the JFK files to be opened up this October. They know with his personality and the way he's been as a businessman and the way he's conducted himself, the shadow government, Clapper, Brennan, Morrell, and the rest of them, Morrell, and the rest of them know that he will do it. And they're terrified. So when you watch this war that's going on in Washington between the shadow government and the elected government, I just want the listeners to understand this is a war between the shadow government and an elected president of the United States. So far, it is an information assassination attempt. So far, it is a character assassination attempt, and it could go even farther than that. There's been some indications there are people inside on Capitol Hill, inside the government, that want to take Donald Trump out. So whatever you think of Donald Trump, understand this constitutional crisis and what a crisis this is for the shadow government to want to eliminate the president of the United States. I want people to get that. I want them to understand that, because this is serious, and it's a serious constitutional crisis.
James Comey, the recent revelation that the Senate Judiciary Committee found evidence that Comey concluded 2 months or 3 months prior to his July 5th, 2016 statement of non-indictment of Hillary Clinton or recommendation of not prosecuting her. Where does James Comey fit into this whole cycle of Obama, Clinton, deep state, shadow government, or shadow government, deep state?
Well, James Comey's resume, frankly, looks almost like a CIA operative. He sat on the board of directors of HSBC Bank. HSBC Bank was used by the CIA to launder money coming up from South America for guns and weapons. It was caught doing that. It was issued basically a few million dollar fine, which was a slap on the wrist for a corporation that big. James Comey was on the board of directors when HSBC Bank was doing that. He was fully aware that they were doing that, and he said and did nothing about it. James Comey moved on to Lockheed Martin. As we know, he was paid $6 million on their board while Lockheed Martin contributed to the Clinton Foundation. And on it goes. James Comey is a deep state man, without a doubt. And the most egregious thing, I think, which most Americans are outraged by, is he laid out the case before everyone for Hillary Clinton being prosecuted for multiple felonies with her secret server and the top secret information that was on there. I think some of it was overhead satellite imagery of Benghazi. Laid out the case, anybody less than that would be in prison for a good 10 to 20 years. Laid out the case and then let her go. So that was absolutely egregious. It is clear that former director James Comey is a part of the shadow government deep state without question. And I think it's pretty obvious, hanging right out there for everybody to see. Hillary Clinton was not indicted. One of the biggest miscarriages of justice I think we all have ever seen.
Okay, one last question, and I'll turn it over to you, Joe. Will there be, in your estimation, do you believe there will be any legitimate investigations into Comey, into Clinton, the email server, Huma Abedin, McCabe, Rosenstein even, throw him in the mix, any one of these operatives, do you believe that there will be any type of legitimate, authentic, honest investigation into their activities?
Well, it's up to Attorney General Jeff Sessions right now. I think the reason Trump came out with that tweet is Jeff Sessions has got all this information. He's got a wealth of information on the illegalities of the Clinton Foundation. Oh, by the way, the Clinton Foundation was closed down and dismantled in 24 hours. I don't know if your listeners know about that, but they shut that thing, cleared out all the employees, shut the office down in 24 hours. So Attorney General Sessions has all that information. It comes down to him. Watch what he does or doesn't do. It is going to be extremely difficult, not impossible, but extremely difficult for him to carry these investigations forward, the Clinton Foundation, Hillary Clinton and her emails, because of the powers that are arrayed against them doing that. Odds are they won't, unless they want to take a personal career risk and push it through. That's the only way it's going to be done, is if they decide that country is more important than their career or even their personal safety. That's what it's going to take for these investigations to go through. If they're not willing to go that far, then no, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, and Mr. Shipp, we saw, you know, this week a number of stories, one continuation on the Hillary Clinton email story, where it was said by the FBI that due to lack of public interest, they refused to fulfill a FOIA request for Judicial Watch to release some of the rest of the Hillary Clinton emails, citing a lack of public interest. And the attorney who filed the motion said he was astounded at this ruling, and it just shows the level that the Obama holdovers are still in control of the FBI. And I'm sure that this same example and scenario is across the board. You know, FBI, the DOJ, EPA, FDA, and all the way up right inside the White House. This is why when we saw Steve Bannon step down and Sebastian Gorka resign, both issuing letters of resignation saying they would be better able to serve the president outside of the White House as anti-American, anti-MAGA, Make America Great Again agenda folks are infiltrating and undermining the president in the White House. And he is, you know, in an uphill battle right now. And who knows if there's any way to really turn this around when the infiltration and corruption is so deep. It's like a fruit that's rotten from the inside out. You're not going to be able to put it in the fridge and get it ripe again.
Yeah, you know, I don't laugh much anymore. My wife and I go to comedies. What is it? Laughter does good like a medicine. Mm-hmm. Just for the healthy part of it. But I got to tell you, when I saw the FBI's response to that, that there wasn't enough public interest for them to release a FOIA, I laughed out loud. It was so ridiculous. It was a clear, bold-faced lie. There is a huge amount of public interest out there, but as you mentioned so well, Joe, that shows you the power that they have to cover these things up. That was an obvious cover-up, and their cover-ups sometimes are so ridiculous, they seem almost stupid, but they know that the public will buy it if they say it enough times. So it's just another example. When I filed the Freedom of Information Act to get my performance appraisals from the CIA so I could put them in my book and stop anybody from, including them, from saying I never worked there, they're supposed to get a FOIA request back in 30 days, and it has to go through different approval processes. 6 months later, they kept blowing me off, until finally I threatened them with legal action, or worse, publicity, and then I had that thing, I think it was 4 days. They routinely obstruct justice. You know, it's funny, the people that entrap other people, the FBI at their senior levels, for example, for obstruction of justice are the ones that obstruct justice themselves. But of course, that's what we see from the shadow government and the deep state. They will bust everybody else for these laws. They'll commit the same violations and then make it covered up and use the system so that they walk.
Yeah, and you know, it's unfortunate. We see this time and time again, regardless if it's the presidential race or something as simple as Prop 8 in California, where the voters voted against homosexual marriage being legal in California, yet the city council and government overturned it. One story about Charlottesville you don't hear is that the city voted 80% to 20% to keep the Confederate statues up, yet the city council, you know, overturned their vote. We're seeing the same thing with the President of the United States. We have the majority of the people voted for President Trump. He won the election fair and square. And now we have this whole orchestration of, you know, political people in the deep state and otherwise trying to overturn the people's vote again. And in doing so, it's not just trying to accomplish what they want, which is the removal of Trump. They are creating this division in this country, this deep division that would never be healed if they are successful in their agenda. And I think that's their ultimate goal, is to be able to create so much chaos and civil unrest that they'll be able to bring in the new form of government which they want, which is antithetical to the Constitution and pro-totalitarian.
I think you nailed it, Joe. I think you're right on target. You know, the old war adage, divide and conquer. And I want to address that. I want people to understand their new weapon of war in the propaganda war, and that's what it is. It's a propaganda war. That's what they're waging. Much of this is funded by George Soros. He wants to eliminate, out of his own mouth, he wants to eliminate the sovereignty of the United States. He's funding some of these groups, Black Lives Matters and others. He's funding them to create division in the United States and break the country up. That's part of this multi-pronged effort to destroy national sovereignty in the United States and ultimately the Constitution. I want people to understand that this racism narrative is simply a propaganda operation to divide the United States. Don't buy it. Don't fall into it. We also have to understand, too, that these neo-Nazis, these morons that believe in this stuff, are a vast minority, the American population. They're a handful. at some of these rallies. And they also have to understand that, that Nazism is not a political movement. It's actually an occult belief. It's an occult belief in a system of a super race, and these people go in these almost like seances to plug into the super race and others. So the Nazi movement is more of an occult movement than anything else. It is the vast minority. The majority of American people, both black, white, and Asian, and others, they all decry racism and fascism. You can ask anybody on the street, you think racism is good? And they'll say, heck no! That falls into what my daughter would say, duh! Of course not. So this racism narrative is a ploy. It's a propaganda operation. I want people to understand, don't fall into that, because it is designed to divide our country. So just watch out, keep an eye on it, and don't let them get to you.
Kevin Shipp is our guest and a true American hero and a patriot. Mr. Shipp, can you do you mind talking about your radio program, the Kevin Shipp Intelligence Hour? Tell our listeners about it, where they can find more information about it, where they can hear the archives and listen to you contemporaneously, live, that is.
Sure, Doug. Thank you. It's called The Intelligence Hour. It's on PRN.FM. You can go into PRN.FM Monday evenings at 6 p.m., and you'll go right on there. If you go into PRN.FM, go to host, scroll down, you'll see me there. Click on The Intelligence Hour, and it's got an archive of all the programs that we've done. And the purpose of The Intelligence Hour, our vision, and what we've been doing is allowing people to come on there, like Paul Williams, for example, and giving them the floor. We are eliminating censorship. That's one of the goals of this program, to let them come on and talk openly about what they've seen, what they're involved in, what their investigation has revealed. We'd have John Kirikou on there, had Paul Williams of Operation Gladio on there, and it is an avenue for people to come on and in an open, uncensored forum lay out for everybody to hear what they have uncovered, either in their journalistic investigation or the operation that caused them to come out and be a whistleblower. So it's an open avenue for uncensored information on what our government is doing in light of the U.S. Constitution.
All right, and that's every Monday at 6 p.m., and, of course, we're going to include the link in the program description to your radio show.
Thank you.
All right, and from the Company of Shadows is your book. I do hope you're planning on writing another one.
We are right in the middle of it.
Perfect. You want to give a tease on that one, or not time yet? It's up to you.
It's going to be called The CIA and the Shadow Government.
Okay, and that's going to be a true winner, to be sure. All right. You recently did, and this is the last question we'll bother you with, given the fact that you've got to be exhausted from the presentation you've done, but the Obama, right place, right time, not a coincidence. You did a lot of work on the background of Obama and his position as the community organizer president. I've listened to you discuss this. Is there anything you want to say about Obama remaining in Washington, D.C. during the Trump administration at this point? Because I know you've spoken about that.
Yes. It is the continued subversion that Barack Obama has engaged in since before he was a senator. If you go out there on the net, I gave a lecture called The Subversion of America, and I get into Barack Obama in detail and Hillary Clinton and their connections in detail. Barack Obama was a subversive president. He was placed in there with the funding of George Soros and others with the goal of undermining traditional American, ultimately the Constitution, which he and the progressives believe should be quote-unquote a living document, in other words, changed at the whim of government at the time. So Barack Obama is a subversive. He was a subversive before he was in the White House. I wrote a 34-page paper proving he was a subversive while he was in there. So why would he not continue his subversive activities after he gets out? Of course he continued. That's what he is. He's a subversive. He's paid to do it. He's locked into the subversive nationalist, globalist, progressive movement, and I don't say that lightly. His goal is the undermining of traditional America without a doubt, and they see the foundation of traditional America as the U.S. Constitution as their ultimate target. And that's what the OFA is all about. We need to keep our eyes on that because it's going to get nasty. It's already getting nasty. And the OFA is not going to, it's not going to play by our typical social civil rules. They're going to get dirty. So to answer your question, Doug, Barack Obama is just engaging in the same subversion he did as he went through the White House. He's continuing. That's his goal. That's his mission. That is who Barack Obama is. And with the OFA, he's just continuing in that same vein.
Understood.
Understood.
Last question, then I'll cut you loose. Okay, Kevin, what can people do to assist you, your efforts, if anything, aside from buy your book, listen to your radio show?
Well, just keep watching my talks. I mentioned before, my wife and I, sometimes we look out the window and wait for the black Suburbans to roll up. I would just, number one, I'd appreciate people's prayers. Just continue to pray for me and for God's protection over what I'm doing. That's the main thing I think that gives me the most comfort. Second of all, join with me in stepping up and demanding reform of our post-constitutional government. Now, I think if there's enough of us, and there are enough of us out there, if enough of us get vocal, as has been the case with every movement in history, if enough of us get vocal and are willing to take a bit of risk, we can change this thing. So I'd ask people just to stand with me too and step out on their own and start talking and writing and getting into things like that. Probably the best way, I think, that they could support me.
Thank you, Kevin Shipp. Prayers up, shields up, and we, to the extent possible, we have your back. We are going to promote the heck out of this segment. We thank you for your gift of time, your energy. That was the most comprehensive presentation on the shadow government I think anyone could ever ask for, and we applaud what you've done. Thank you so very much, Mr. Shipp.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Joe.
All right,
thank
sir.
You.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you too, guys.
All right.
And I hope everybody paid attention, because that was just a magnificent presentation, something like when we go to conferences.
That's right.
And hear people speak. This is the quality of information that you would get from a speaker.
Yeah, I just want to say this. I want to thank Todd from Global Star Radio Network for allowing us to go through the network breaks. It costs money to do that. Okay, this is a sacrifice, okay? So Todd, thank you so very much. John Robertson, thank you so much for setting this up the way you did. Eric worked, let me tell you, to get Eric makes it look so easy. It's not. To get the slides on a virtual basis using spreading across multiple platforms and sitting in a spaceship doing what he did, it's not easy. But thank you, Eric, and thank you so much. And then Brent Bileski, thank you, sir. You are a class act. And of course, Brent Bileski is brings us Kevin Shipp and Paul Williams, IQL Rizzulli, and others. And I thank Mr. Bileski for all you've done, and we will also put some information where you can personally thank Mr. Bileski as well. So, in fact, if you go to realnewswars.info, there, that's Kevin Shipp's site as well. WorldNetworkSpyTheater.com, but realnewswars.info. And of course, from there you can get to many locations. But Joe, now I've seen that presentation, and I've taken pages upon pages of notes.
I know you have.
And I've talked to Kevin, and I'll just say this, and I don't know how many people remember this, but when Kevin Shipp first wrote the book From the Company of Shadows, he our program was one of the first, I think the first program he came on. He had sent us the code. He sent me the code. I'm just not going to. I got the code.
Right. It came in the book. Yeah.
That was in the book.
Right.
And it was finally released. The code was released, made public by him. But honestly, he had said to me, he said, look, this might be the only program I ever do. The first and the last program I ever
do. Ominous.
Yeah. And that's the level of courage of Kevin Shipp. I took that seriously, and I still do. You heard him come on and say, I just don't know. I think of Michael Hastings. Think of others. Think of the people that,
Well, when you break it down, it goes for any and all of us living right now in this world for whatever reason. That's obviously, right. he was speaking of different reasons, but...
But I know
as easily we could leave the studio, be broadsided by a truck, and not be here tomorrow.
Right, but broadsided by a truck with the CIA,
right. With him, they'd use like a heart attack gun or one of those Cuban sonic weapons that they...
But the thing is, the... yes, the information that is coming out right now, they want to censor this information. They don't want this information out there. They don't want anyone to know how deep this rot is, as you put it. And I just have to say that we all have to stick together at this point. The censorship is overwhelming.
Right. They see that they can't completely get it done just by demonetizing. They thought, you know, each and every person in the alternative media, that YouTube revenue was going to make or break them. And as we have seen, and thank the Lord for this, the alternative media has not only held its own, but it has gotten stronger, even in the face of having its advertising revenue stolen out from underneath it. And now that they can't, they understand that they're not going to be able to completely shut it down through, you know, demonetizing and going after advertisers. Now they're pressuring Google and other internet service providers to get rid of the websites, to call it hate speech by implementing laws to, you know, ban it from the ability for search engines.
Here, actually. Yeah.
I mean, we can see where it's going.
Now, our next guest coming up is going to be Scott Greer. And No Campus for White Men is the name of his book.
What a Nazi.
Yeah, really. No, I'm going to tell you something. Scott Greer is a patriot. He's a hero.
Yeah, he's been on the show a few times now. And despite what you think of the title of his book, Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover, it's filled with truth. And it's not racist. It just points out facts. The times that we live in and the culture that we live in that is promoted by these college campuses and institutions of lower learning. So it's going to be a great interview. Scott Greer from the Daily Caller, one of my favorite websites. Newsbusters, Daily Caller, always love Steve Quayle. Hagman Report, obviously. And Eric, what's your website? Tech Nation Report?
Absolutely. Tech Nation.
It's down.
Oh, it's down. Well, you can follow. You got to still have a Twitter, active Twitter account, right? It's stalking you on Twitter, brother. There you go, at Real Tech Eric. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. It is Friday, the first day of September 2017. I just want to give a hello as well to my wife who just arrived in the studio.
Come make a cameo.
Yeah, there we go. No, I don't think she will. But this is really, truly a family operation. One more thing. When Steve Quayle yesterday had asked you to support us, we are thankful to everyone who is supporting us, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of our collective hearts, for your financial support, especially as Steve Quayle put it up. That allows us to continue bringing us premium program. Let me try this one more time. This allows us to continue to bring you premium programming. Seriously, like Kevin Shipp and others, John Robertson has done a great job, Eric the Tech in behind the controls, and of course all the research that we do ahead of the this broadcast. Also tune into our shows, individual shows, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. My show airs Eastern Time, the Doug Hagman Radio Show, as well as Joe and John from 2 to 3 Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio.
Both shows are accessible by archive any time of the day after they are completed, and you can do that through iTunes, any podcast apps. And folks, if you don't know how to do that, go to the main Blog Talk page for each show, and on the page on the right hand side underneath the banner, you see little icons. There's a purple icon, a yellow icon, and in those icons, one says RSS feed, one says iTunes. You click on the iTunes, and it will pick you up and take you right to the iTunes podcast where you can subscribe to it, and then it will download daily. Or you can use any podcast app, Podkicker. Eric, what's your favorite one? Stitcher. There's so many options out there. And once a week, we try to put at least one episode up on YouTube for people to get a little teaser to come listen to the rest of the other shows. And folks, my dad's doing a lot better than me and John numbers-wise.
Nah, you know, doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'd say he's about 45% listenership ahead of us.
The reason he's saying that is because we've got a dollar bet.
I want you guys to spread the word about our show, about the Hagman Daily Show.
There you go.
Forget the Doug Hagman Show. Yeah, spread the word about the Hagman Daily Show to all your friends. Be like Jehovah's Witnesses. Knock on doors on Saturday mornings. Put CDs in the
mailboxes. Actually, we actually have a friendly dollar bet that for a number who's going to prevail.
I thought it was a steak dinner.
No, it's a dollar bet. Okay. That's